You know, this morning I'd like to challenge you this morning. It's really been on my heart to challenge the church. And, our church system, the institution of the church in America, and I've preached about this, talked about this many times, the institution of the church in America is in a decline like we've never seen before. Our churches are falling away. There's many churches closing their doors. There's many pastors leaving the ministry every, not just every week, but every day. And then it's an unbelievable number that I see. We find that Africa and foreign countries are growing faster than America in their churches. So I want to encourage you this morning. And, springtime's coming soon. And in the springtime, the Martins, they come into our neighborhoods every year. And they come every spring and they show up about the middle of March and spend the whole summer. And they make a long trip. They fly from South America and they spend the summer up here and fly back south before winter hits. Isn't that amazing? Why do they do that, you know? They've been doing it for centuries. And they come north for one reason. They come to build a family. And so what I'm talking about are these purple martins. And everybody, you know, some people, you see the purple martin houses. And they're neat to watch. They come and they eat all the mosquitoes up and the bugs up. And we like that, right? That's why we want them around. You know, but they fly thousands of miles each year to ensure the health and the growth of the family unit. To the Martins, the health and growth of the next generation is a matter of life and death to them. A matter of life and death to their species. Ensuring the health and growth of our church is a matter of life and death. Think about that this morning. Our purpose to ensure the health and growth of this church and all of our churches, we need to look at our purpose as being a matter of life and death, because it's what we do today is what the next generation is going to produce. Our purpose should be to love God, right? And to love people. That's our purpose, really. To love God and love our people. The Bible says in Matthew 22:37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So we should love God and love people. Amen? We all agree with that? Some people's hard to love. I know that. But God says we need to love them. Our purpose, it really answers this question, why are we here? Why are we here? We are here to love God and to love people. So, really, we think about a vision statement. What's a vision statement? It should explain how we are to show our love to both God and to people. Do you have a vision statement in your heart? God planted one there if you're saved. He put a vision statement in your heart. If you belong to our denomination, we have a vision statement. If you belong to this church, you can look at our website. We have a vision statement. We have a mission statement. It's posted right up there in the beginning when you open up our website. Do you remember what our vision statement is? Our vision statement, our mission is, it's really three things. We are real, we are relevant, and we are relational. And you can think, we're real here at Ann. We desire to know all about Jesus and understand fully what He accomplished. Amen? I'm not going to read it all because it's a little lengthy. But go and read it if you don't know what it is. We're relevant. We're a place where God's grace can be understood and is extended towards every person. Amen? We're relational. We like to hang out with each other. Right? I don't know. There may be some of us here we don't want to hang out with. Well, now you guys are getting quiet. You know, we desire to build strong, Christ-like relations with each other. You know, I love coming to church and gathering. I love being with my church family. I desire that. And I know these last couple years we've kind of missed out on some of that. And I'm really down about that. I'm really missing those times where we gather together in the evenings and sit around and eat pizza and drink coffee or whatever, you know, eat coconut pie or whatever it is, you know, just to sit around and fellowship together. And that's how we grow, and that's how we learn about each other. Because, you know, we need to know about each other. It's important. It's how we bond as a family. So here at our church, we are real, we're relevant, and we're relational. And that's what we should focus on. That's our mission. You know, sometimes life is frustrating and confusing, and sometimes it's hard, and we go through things in our life, and we need each other for those times. Not only in the good times when we're happy and smiling, and we have baby showers and things like that. Those are wonderful times. But also when we have funerals and we have those sad times in our life. We support each other. Amen? That's what a family is all about. We need to bring them in, build them up, train them up, and send them out. That's what a church does. That's our purpose. And as we bring people into the fellowship, as we build people up through discipleship, as we train people to use their gifts, talents, and personality in service to God through ministry... Well, that's a big mouthful, isn't it? I should have put a comma in there somewhere. But you get my point. We need to teach people. Isn't that what we're here for? To train, to teach, to build each other up so that we can do what? So as we make disciples, they can make disciples, and they can make disciples, and they can make... I mean, it just keeps going, right? That's what secures our next generation of Christians. If we do nothing, what happens to this church? Right here in Anna. If we do nothing, if we don't invite people, if we don't have a hunger to get people into the church for one purpose, that's to get them saved, right? To teach them about Jesus. If we don't have that desire, what happens to this church in the future? Where are we at in the next generation? We can't let COVID kill us. Amen? Because guess what? Jesus is still working. It's not stopping Him. And we see churches in China that can't have church services like we're having this morning, still growing. It amazes me. Every time a church in the history becomes under great persecution in a community, all over the world we find growth. We see that more and more in America, this persecution starting to happen. I'm expecting God to do something amazing in our churches. That's what I want to see. But it starts with us. It starts with us continuing the purpose that was set in the Great Commission, where He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, within this great commandment and this great commission, you find five functions of the church. We find worship, we find fellowship, we find discipleship, we find ministry, and we find evangelism. And we need to be, as a church, we need to fulfill these five functions. We express our love for God and our love for people. And we become clear by worship and closer by fellowship and purer by discipleship and stronger by ministry and larger by outreach. You know, I want to see our church grow, right? But it never will grow unless we are worshiping, unless we are clear on our worship, unless we're closer in our fellowship together, unless we're pure in our discipleship, in teaching and training. And that starts with our young kids
all the way up to adults. That's why Sunday school is so important. You know, my vision for this church is for people of God to gather weekly, corporately, worship together, to get to know each other better. You know, I want to know you guys. You know, how do we do that? We need to be praying together. Amen? Man, that's one of the most important things that we can do. We need to pray together. We need to study together. We need to learn. And we need to minister together. We need to reach out to our communities together. I want to focus this morning on this importance of outreach. And outreach is vital for the health and the growth of our church. You know, there's a survey that I was reading about. You know, you can Google, you know, a lot of things, but you can find surveys through our church members in America here. 89% of people, when they were surveyed, said that the number one purpose of the church is to take care of their needs and the needs of their families. That was what was 89% answered that way. And only 11% said that the purpose of the church is to win the world for Christ. Now that surprised me. I didn't think that number would be that high. You know, the purpose of the church is to win the world for Jesus Christ. But Jesus Himself gave us the great commandment, didn't He? He said, in His great commission to motivate the church to outreach. We got to reach out to the world. And I don't mean foreign countries, yeah, sometimes. But I mean right here, right where we're at, right in your life, where you are and where you live. We got to help people understand that the saving power of Jesus Christ. I mean, how are people to know unless we tell them and show them through our life? Man, Jesus saved me. Amen? How many is excited? How many can say that with a heart full of love that Jesus saved me? One, two. Thanks, Kurt. Appreciate that. Amen. I mean, I know we all have different personalities. But God made us that way for a reason. Amen. Not everybody can be as, you know, sometimes I get a little carried away, don't I? Just a little bit. I can't help it. I can't help it. But man, I want everybody to know Jesus like I do. I want everybody to feel the power of the Holy Spirit working inside of me. Not that I'm anybody special, because I'm not. It's just God inside of me. I can't explain it, what it feels like. And I want everybody to feel like I do. Man, Jesus saved me. What did He save me from? Man, I don't have to go to hell. Amen? Because that's where I was headed. That's really what it is. What are you saved from? I'm saved from hell. The Bible says, you know, He doesn't want any of us to go. Let me get back on track here. We got to help people understand that. We got to proclaim the transforming power of Jesus. And if we don't, we become self-centered and maintenance-minded, because then it becomes all about us. It becomes internal instead of external. Jesus wasn't internal. Look at what He said to the woman at the well. She was concerned. She said, I can't even go worship because they won't even let me, especially me. Look at me. And Jesus said, hey, there's going to come a time where you don't have to worship in the synagogue. You can worship in, I'll be in the Spirit. You can worship anywhere. He opened the doors to that. He's outside of the church. He's not just inside the church. He's wherever we go. Amen? He's not contained in a little box behind a curtain anymore. He's outside the church. He's wherever we go, He lives within us. Why should we be concerned about outreach? Big question. Because God loves people. God loves people. The Lord is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but wants everyone to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. You know, God never wants to see anyone die, and God never wants anyone to go to hell, and it was never God's intention for that to happen. But the Scripture tells us that hell was created for the devil and his angels, is really. And it was not created for man. Matthew 25 talks about that. So God loves people, and He wants to see everyone saved, and that's the good news, amen? That's why He sent His Son. But there's also the bad news. If we do nothing, we're destined for hell. And if we do nothing, our neighbor's destined for hell. Amen? It's the truth. If we don't share the gospel and tell people about the saving power of Jesus Christ, we're saying that we don't care. That person can just go on to hell. That's pretty strong, isn't it? But it's the truth. I'm glad somebody shared the gospel with me. You know, I was raised in church. Most of you know that. But I didn't get saved until later on in my life. I knew all about church. I knew what it was all about. I knew how to dress, how to walk, how to talk. But that meant nothing. And it wasn't until, you know, Prevenient Grace was doing its work in me, but it wasn't until 1993 when I realized I was a sinner. And I needed Christ to forgive me because I was pursued and I was told by somebody who loved me enough to say, hey, you know, you need to hear this. And I gave my life to Christ. Changed my life. I think many of you have that same story. Somebody told you about Jesus. If nobody would have told you, how would you have known? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. You know, we're drowning here in this world of sin, but God sent this rescuer. He did. A Savior to help us from drowning. That's the good news, amen? That really is to keep us from dying. The Savior is Jesus Christ. We know that. Why did God send Him? Because for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. That's exactly why. God loves people and He wants to see everyone saved. And He placed us on this earth so that we can make those decisions to share the gospel with everyone else. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. The problem is most people are on a sinking ship. And they choose to be on that sinking ship, and they, unless we bring a raft to them to save them. We have to bring that raft to them and pull them on board. Amen? They're treading water out there in a sea of sin, and unless we paddle our boats out there and go rescue them, that's what we're for. Who would not do that? I've said this before. Who would walk by a burning house knowing people was in that house and would not do what they possibly could do, everything they could possibly do to get them out of there? You would at least make a phone call. You wouldn't just keep walking by, but yet we walk by people every day. We work with people every day. We know people in our families that are dying and going to hell, but yet we don't share the gospel. I'm not picking on you this morning. I'm just trying to encourage you, I hope. to share the gospel. God loves us and does not want anyone to die. And He loves your neighbors. He loves your family. He loves your friends. He loves you, and He doesn't want to see any of us die. The number two reason is because Jesus commands us to reach out. He really does. He says, go, go. That word is strong. I mean, when somebody tells you to go, I mean, when you tell your kids to go, what do you mean? Maybe. It's pretty direct, right? When you tell somebody to go, He didn't do it in anger. He just says, man, guys, go. Go into the country and urge anyone you find to come in so that my house may be full. Luke 14:23. Why? He says, you will be my witnesses in Acts. That's what Jesus tells the disciples. You're going to be my witnesses. So go, so that my house will be full. You know, the great commandment and the great commission are, they're not suggestions. They're commandments. And once we're on board with Christ, once we're saved, He tells us to help Him. To go into all the world. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. See, that's what the church is here for. We teach people and we train people for the next generation of church members. And are we doing a good job at that? Are we doing what God has called us to do? To go and make and baptize and teach. The third reason is because church growth is God's will. It really is. He says, I want my house to be full, so go, make disciples so that my house will be full. Matthew 16:18 says, under Christ's control, the whole body is nourished and grows as God wants it to grow. Oh, well, that's in Colossians 2:19. And Jesus says, I will build my church through Him. You know, little history about Walmart. Walmart. Something very interesting I learned about Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart. He had one vision and one goal in mind whenever he started. You know, that vision was to capture the consumer market in America. That was his goal. That was his vision. And how many of you ever been to Walmart? I think all of us have been to Walmart or to Sam's Club. But Sam's vision was just, it didn't happen overnight. He came up with a plan and he opened his first Walmart in 1962 in Roger, Arkansas. And by 1967, he had 24 stores in Arkansas. And the sales that year reached $12.6 million. And by 2005, he had reached $312 billion with 3,200 stores in America. And just as many around the world now. And it took hard work, it took effort, and it took long hours. But, you know, you look at the results of his plan, his vision. Because everyone in this room has been to Walmart and shopped there, right? And right now, they'll tell you, they'll say that within 10 minutes of wherever you're at in the United States, within 10 to 15 minutes, you can be at a Walmart store, no matter where you're at. That's pretty impressive. You know, but God has this vision. God intends His church to grow, and He has a plan, and He has a strategy for church growth. And it's there again. Go, therefore, and make disciples. And teaching them to observe all things. God intends for His people to be involved in evangelism and bring them in and build them up and train them up and send them out. And it's what we do and it's what we should be doing. How large will His church grow? How strong? I guess only God knows that. But let me tell you, He's doing a pretty good job of it. Amen? Because He started out with just a handful of fishermen and one lawyer and a doctor, I guess. And He built this church. And look, worldwide today, look where we're at. But what's it going to be for the next generation? For us here? How large can we grow? It really depends on you. I can only witness to so many people. I can only drag so many people to church. The Bible says compel them to come in. That's a big word right there when you look at it in the Greek. Yeah. Because sometimes the Latin translation, in our Bibles, a lot of that was translated from Latin. But when you go back and look at the Greek, it's like I was sharing with the Wednesday night crowd about what Paul said to the Galatians. Because he said, "You foolish Galatians," in chapter 3. But they use the word foolish. But when you go back to the Greek and look at it, that same word is really translated stupid. I laugh about that, but really, I think when they were translating, they said, we probably shouldn't use that word. We probably should use foolish. Probably pastors wouldn't last very long if they said that to their churches. But see, those words are strong. How strong can we go? Only God knows that, but yet it's up to us. It's up to us to teach people about Christ. It's up to us to build relationships with each other and grow stronger in bond as a family. And that's so important. It's so important. Outreach takes place on the mission field that you're already in. Every one of us are in that mission field in our lives. Everywhere I go during my day is a mission field. Everywhere you go during your day is a mission field. Where you work, where you live. Most of us won't be called to become foreign missions or missionaries or to go to foreign countries, but each one of us has a mission right here, right where you live. And you're surrounded by people who need to hear about Jesus. Amen? I know so many people who need to hear about Jesus. They're hard-headed. Some people don't want to hear it. But we just keep on keeping on. We compel them to hear the Word. Our mission, our purpose is simply to help people know about Jesus. So go, therefore, and make disciples. Go. Go and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life. I would want to ask you this morning, are you embarrassed to be a Christian? Are you ashamed of the gospel? I'm not at all. I'm not afraid to share it with anybody. Sometimes we're reserved because we're afraid that somebody will say something negative back to us. I think that's our biggest fear, isn't it? I won't say that everybody's ashamed of it, but I think fear is the right word. Sometimes we're afraid to share the gospel. Sometimes we're afraid to share our testimony because of what somebody might say back to us. Our mission field is right here where we are. And if God has me here at Anna, or if you're in Dongola, or if you're in Jonesboro or Marion, or if you're in Vienna, I could keep naming Carbondale, no matter where you're at, that's your mission field. Or even Alto Pass, Kurt, Cobden. God's got a great plan for all of us, and that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that a great thing to tell somebody? Did I tell you about martins that move in to our neighborhood every year, every spring? You remember that? And their sole purpose is to grow and build a family. And that's our sole purpose here for the next generation. So I challenge you this morning. Let's make disciples. Amen? Let's grow the church. Let's go closer together. I'd love to see, you know, Easter Sunday here with every pew full or every chair full. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be awesome? That's my big challenge to you. We've got about 4 or 5 weeks here coming up. Easter's April 17th, I think. Let's fill the house for Easter. Amen? Bring somebody that's unchurched to bring them in. Let them hear the gospel. Amen? That's my challenge to you. Can we do that? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word, Lord. I thank You for all the blessings that You've done in my life. And Lord, we want to be faithful. And Lord, we want to be obedient to Your call. So Lord, as I've challenged the church with Your Word, Lord, I pray that You give us the abilities, You give us the gifts, You give us the strength to do it, Lord. And let Your Holy Spirit overwhelm us, Lord, with that great strength, fearless to witness in Your name. Lord, I know that You're going to do great things for this next generation if we'll just be obedient to You. So Lord, I pray, keep us safe as we leave here, Lord, and bring us back safely again to our next gathering. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.